When was the last time that you found yourself at odds with the majority? In other words, you were the minority, they were the majority, and you had a difference in opinion. Okay, let me ask you this question. When you think about that, how did you respond to this, and how did it make you feel knowing that there was more people that had a different opinion than you did? Listen, we're going to be looking at God's word in Numbers chapter 13 at the report of the 12 spies as they went in to spy out the promised land. We'll be back in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're glad that you're joining us today as we gather around God's Word to look at a very critical piece of Scripture. We're going to be looking at Numbers chapter 13, and this is dealing with the report of the 12 spies. If you will remember, as we're coming into this particular point, God has led Israel out of Egypt. He's carried them through the Red Sea. They finally come to the borders of the Promised Land. In fact, this was a place called Kadesh Barnea. And as they're able to stand and look over the Promised Land, they hadn't entered it just yet. And they decide that what's going to happen is they're going to send some spies into the land to see what it's like. Yeah, they're going to be the scouting report. They're going to bring back a scouting report to the people of Israel as they camp there. And they're going to go see if it really is what God said it was going to be and what potential obstacles that they may have. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn with me today, if you would, to Numbers chapter 13. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. It's Numbers chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel." Now, in verses 4 down through around verse 16, it begins to give a list of the names of those men. So let's all drop on down to verse 17. Verse 17 says, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities that they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. The time was the season of the first ripe grapes." Verse 21, "So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. Verse 22, and they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman and Shirai and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Verse 26, "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron after all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Anakites, or the Amalekites, dwell in the the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak come from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin today. Father, as we come to you right now, we thank you and praise you for the fact that you still lead us on these adventures. Lord, you still lead us to places where you want us to go. Father, as we have read, that there are going to be times that we're going to come up against opposition. In fact, most of the time, we will come up against opposition when it comes to maintaining and following your will. Lord, I just pray that you will help us to glean examples today from Caleb and Joshua as they spied out the land. And Lord, may we not be found to be those who look more so at the problem than at your leadership in our lives. Lord, that means that there will be oftentimes that we'll be in the minority when it comes down to following your word. But Lord, we pray that you will give us strength. Lord, for today, may we have insight into your word. May we listen to the Holy Spirit. And Father, as your messenger for these moments, I just pray that you would truly empower me to lift you up as you draw men unto you. Lord, may we be better today because we have gathered around your word and we have learned and drawn closer to you. So Lord, bless this time that we'll spend together as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these particular passages, I started off by asking you the question, when was the last time that you personally found yourself at odds with a majority? In other words, you were the minority. Your opinion or your thoughts were different than those of the group. There was more of them that had a different view than what you did. And I ask you the question, how was it that you responded to this? You know, did you stand firm? Were you able to be swayed by those that were the majority? Did they sway you their way, or were you able to sway them in your direction? And better yet, at the end of the conversation, did you still hold the same, you know, thoughts and beliefs that you did, even if you were in the minority? You know, when we look at that, we could probably see examples in our lives where that went both ways. That it could have been one of the circumstances where maybe they swayed you over to their way, or maybe you didn't sway them at all, but you didn't give up ground on how you felt about the situation. Now, in our story today, Moses sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan. Now, this is the promised land. This is the land that God had promised that he was going to give to his children. So remember, they're standing at the borders at a place called Kadesh Barnea, and Moses sends in the 12 spies. And their purpose was to go down there and to see, based on verses 1 through 24, what the land had to offer. Is it really what God said it was going to be? Is it truly a land that flows with milk and honey? Tell us, you know, whether it's the land is good, whether there's forest. Just you kind of give us a report. You go in there, spy the land out, come back and tell us, you know, what all it has to offer. You know, when you think about it, it's really sitting back saying, well, let's just see if it really is what God told us it was going to be. Now, as these 12 spies go in there, we know that they were there for 40 days. You know, they got in, moved among the people, and after they returned, they gave a report. Now, there was some positive that went along with it. Now, I want us to go down and look at verse 25, and let's look at what the positive report that came back in regard to our passages today. Verse 25 says, and they returned from spying out in the land after 40 days. Now, verse 26, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh and brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Remember it said in the passages that they cut down a big stalk of the grapes. They were carrying it on a pole between them. It said they brought back some figs and pomegranates. And verse 27 says, then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruits. Right. In other words, there was a great positive report. Man, it is everything that God said it is. It's a place that we would love to be. You can't ask for anything better. It is as advertised, just like God told us it would be. So all this is sounding really great. I'm sure that as the people gathered around, they were sitting there going, wow, look, I can even see some samples of the fruit. And they're like, yep, this is it right here. It's everything God said. But then there's a word that gets interjected in verse 28. That is the I call it the Debbie Downer word. Verse 28 starts off with the word nevertheless. Yeah, I'll call that the conjunction. You know, when you set the back, it's everything God said it was, but it's everything God said it was. However, you know, that means there's more to come. Verse 28 says, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Now, we know that the scripture tells us that the descendants of Anak are giants. So in other words, they said it truly is everything that God said it was going to be, but there are some problems. So not only was there some positive in that report, there was also a lot of negative in verses 28 and 29. They said, yeah, it is what God said it was, but you know, there are giants in the land. I mean, you know, there are inhabitants. Now, folks, I want to stop for just a moment or pause right here for just a minute to let you know that anytime God sends us on a journey, number one, you can expect that there's going to be opposition. Satan never wants us to be where God is calling us to be. He is going to put obstacles along the way. But you always have to remember that along this journey, God has specifically taken care of Israel. Along our journey in life, God has specifically taken care of us. And if he tells us, this is where I want you to be, this is what I want you to do, then that means that God is going to ensure our safe passage to get where he wants us to be. He's going to watch over us. He's going to take care of us, and he's going to protect us. Israel often forgot that. In the journeys that we read about them, you know, they look and God delivers them and they're praising him. And then a few chapters later, they've resorted back to their old ways and they have forgotten what God has done. May we not be like Israel. May we continue to remember how God has looked over us, how God has supplied for us, how God has taken care of us every single step of the way along our journey. He has in the past and he will continue to do so in the future. Now, which spy found himself at odds with the majority? Remember how we started off our Bible study that there was at least a spy who found himself differing in opinion from the majority. If you look at verse 30 gives us his name. It says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. That is a big statement. That verse 30 right there speaks much about who Caleb is. It speaks much about who he is relying upon. You know, the rest of those spies were sitting there going, it's everything he said it was, but they're giants and we're not able to do it. We're not going to be able to go in there. They're just going to annihilate us. They're going to wipe us out. So I can imagine all the people that were around listening to this report going, oh, after they'd seen the fruits, after they'd seen what had been brought back and the positivity that came out at the very beginning. And now it's like, oh, here we are, you know, we can't do it. And the majority of them were saying that, with the exception of Caleb. And all of a sudden Caleb goes, shh, shh, everybody listen for a minute. Everybody be quiet for just a minute. I want to tell you something. Let us go up at once, meaning right now. Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, why would Caleb have that insight? Why would Caleb say that when the rest of the crowd is saying there's no way? When the majority of the crowd was saying we can't do it? Here's why. Because Caleb remembered who he was. He remembered that he was part of the armies of the living God. He remembered that God had promised them this land. And if God has made the promise, God will see it to through to fruition. I love what the scripture says, that he who began a good work in you will continue until it comes to fruition. So Caleb remembered who he was in God, and he remembered who God was to him. And he said, we are well able to do it. Let's go, and let's go right now. Let's not delay. Let's not wait. This is what God is giving us. Why should we wait around? Let's go do it. Okay, so now that they've heard Caleb, how did the majority respond to Caleb's word? And what does this tell us about them? Look at verse 31. Verse 31 tells us this. It says, but the men who had gone up with him, meaning the other 11, said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now, yeah, I can just picture it now. Caleb is sitting there. He's got everybody's attention. He goes, man, we need to go right now. We need to do this. This is what God told us to do. And then there's the Debbie Downers, the wet blankets, the ones who were with him when they were spying out the land for the 40 days. He said, in verse 31, we are not able to go up against the people because they're stronger than we are. So, you know, if you're standing in the crowd and you're listening to the crowd, at that particular point, what is your assessment of the situation? See, we have this tendency to think that the majority is always right. All of a sudden, you're like, well, I tell you what, there's 11 of them that said, we can't do it. And only one of them that says we could. Well, based on the odds of percentage, then the 11 must be right. They must be. Let's go with what the 11 say instead of the one. Yeah, that's what we do. Now, what does this also say about the other 11 that were with him that went to spy out the land? It says that they had forgotten what God had done for them. They had forgotten what God had told them about this land. They remembered that God said it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. They had forgotten that God said, this is the land that I am giving you. This is going to be the place that I have set aside for my people. You know, when the obstacles were viewed ahead, they were like, we can't do it. We just can't do it. Now, I want to pause for just a moment and ask you, what are the obstacles in your life today that you're getting the majority report that says that you are not able? You know, there is a minority report. If the minority report is you and God, then let me say this. That's going to be the correct report. It's hard to look at it from that perspective at times, isn't it? You know, when you're sitting there going, well, this just doesn't sound like it makes sense. When you think about this situation, the people had not learned about what God was doing for them. They hadn't learned from the situation of the Exodus from Egypt. They hadn't learned from the crossing of the Red Sea. They hadn't learned how God had taken care of them every single step of the way. They hadn't learned how God had led them by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They hadn't learned how God gave them everything that they needed to be successful to carry out His will. So if we consider them, let's consider ourselves today. Are we remembering all the wonderful things that God has done for us? And most of all, are we remembering when God has told us, here's where I want you to go. Here's where I want you to be. Here's where what I want you to do. Are we considering that as we look at the things that are going on around us? You know, the Bible says, verses 32 and 33, that they brought the people of Israel a bad report. What kind of bad reports are coming from your circumstances and situations today? You know, think about this. Satan will always use a bad report in the lives of God's people. How many times is it that in the midst of God telling you what He wants you to do, does Satan bring somebody along the way in your life to come up and say, oh, we just can't do that. We're not able to do that. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough resources. We don't have enough power to do that. The odds of percentage are against us. All these excuses why we can't do what God has asked us to do. All of the reasons why We can't be obedient to what God has called us to do. So yet Satan will always use that. Is he using that in your life right now? Is he using a bad report to otherwise stop you from being all that God wants you to be? You know, now I want us to consider for just a moment the gravity of this bad report. With that bad report, there were some consequences that came along the way. Now, I don't want you to turn there, but I want to go over to the next chapter in Numbers chapter 14, verses 5 through 10. And let's look at what it says. Numbers 14, verses 5 through 10 says this. It says, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Verse 6, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land, and he will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meetings before the children of Israel. Now consider that for just a minute. I want you to think about those scriptures. Yeah, Joshua and Caleb, okay? They're the two spies who came back with the proper report. We're trying to convince the people. They said, we need to go do this right now. It is everything God said it was. And notice what he said, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land. We don't need to be afraid of the people. We need to go forward because it is God who is going to make the way. It is God who is going to protect us. It is God who is going to watch over us. Let's not rebel. Notice that verse 9 of Numbers 14 said this. Let us not rebel against the Lord. Let us not fear the people of the land. He said, they're our bread. Their protection has departed from them. God's not with them. God's with us. Let's not fear them. Let's go get it. Let's go after it. So what did the people say? Did that rally the people to say, let's go after it? You're absolutely right. No, it did not. In fact, that word tells us that they were picking up stones and getting ready to stone Joshua and Caleb. You know, after they made the response to the people, instead of sitting there and becoming a rallying point for them to trust in God and to go into the land, all of a sudden they're getting ready to stone them. Now, think about that for a moment. How would you like to be in those shoes and in that situation? There are consequences. So they stood firm on what they believed. They stood firm because their trust was in God, not within themselves or not within the circumstances and situations of their lives. Now, as they stood firm, you know, what would the consequences of that be? In this particular passage, they were about to be stoned. But there's also some other consequences as well. So just bear with me for just a moment. Yeah, I want you to think about today. In the church today, do you think that people are more likely to listen to the negative report or the positive report? Now, I want you to consider why. Yeah, have you ever thought about that? That to me, and I've experienced that for my time in ministry, the decades I've spent there, that you come forth with a positive challenge, and then there's always the, well, what about this? And well, what about that? Now, I'm not saying that it's not all right to ask questions, but I'm saying, are the questions being asked designed to bring about a negative report? Are they designed to influence people not to do what God has called us to do? Now, I've also said, there are people that will sit back and say, oh, most of the time they're indifferent, little things. Folks, this was a big thing. And there are times when God has called us to do some things that without God, we're not able to do in and of ourselves. That's what scares people. You know, the people of Central Baptist have heard me for years say that God has called us to launch out into the deep. In the deep, that's where you die without him. In the deep is where the storms are. In the deep is where you just don't make it without God. But also in the deep, that's where the fish are. That's where you catch the big ones. And God calls us to go out into the deep. Now, there's 10,000 reasons why we should not do that. There's only one real reason why we should. And the reason that we should is because God told us to. That should be enough. When God says, here's what I want you to do, here's where I want you to go, here's how I want you to go, that should be enough. Regardless of the mountain of reasons why we shouldn't. Because we can come up with those and Satan's going to feed them to us on a continual basis. Well, what about this? Well, what about money? What about the objects and the challenges that are in our way? Hey, that's not my problem. That's God's problem. If God's called us to us, He's going to bring us through it. Okay? Has He done that? The same holds true in your personal life. Okay? When you face challenges and when you face negativity, you know, faith and courage is something that we need to stand on more so than we ever have. And that is exactly what Joshua and Caleb did. Now, I've said as we go through our Bible studies, we need to look for examples to follow. Joshua and Caleb are the examples that we need to follow in this situation. Because even though they were in the minority, they were right. God had called them to do that. They remembered who God was, so they stood. It caused them to cultivate and practice their faith. It caused them to have to be courageous along the way. Now, just to kind of let you know what was taking place and what happened, based on that negative report, the people said, we can't do it. They bought into what the other spies had said. They bought into the negative report and they said, we're not going. And at that point, God kind of got fed up with their foolishness. I'll just call it that. So then, ironically enough, the next day, the people came and said, well, we're going to go. But in the meantime, those who brought forth the negative report died. They just, right there, God took their life. There was a consequence for the negative report as well. You know why? Because negative reports will lead people down a path that God does not intend them to go down. So folks, I want you to strongly be aware not to be giving negative reports when it comes down to what God wants to do. Listen, quit giving negative reports on your neighbor. You know, we call that gossip. Stop it. Quit giving negative reports on your church. If you're trying to reach out to people, yeah, listen, you can find negative in everything that is said. You can find negative in everything that is done. You can find negative in every single person on the face of this planet. But God says, you need to be very, very careful of that because those who brought back the negative report, those who stirred the hearts of the people, you know, against His will and the positive report, God took their life just like that. Just like that. Now, after seeing these things, the children of Israel the next day came back and said, okay, Moses, we're sorry. We'll go. We're mounted up. We're ready to go into battle. Let's just go do it now. And Moses said, well, hold on. Time out. No. You have irritated God. God is no longer with us. The ark is not going to be going. If you want to go in there and you want to go try to take the land now, go for it. But it's going to cost you because He said, God is not with you anymore. God is not with you if you decide to take this journey. He's upset with you right now. And yet, what did the people do? A lot of them said, well, we're going anyway. And they did. And guess what happened to them? They lost their lives because God was not with them. Folks, are we following what God's command is? Are we where God wants us to be, regardless of those mountain of reasons why we shouldn't go? Regardless of what it looks like, I call it horizontally, when we're looking at it this way. Are we looking at it vertical? Are we looking at what God is telling us to do? You know what we need to do? We need to pray today that God will give us faith and courage, just like He did with Joshua and Caleb, and that we will not join in with those who give negative reports. You know what? Negative reports caused them 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Negative reports have killed many a church. Negative reports have caused many people to look and gather on the majority side, which was the wrong side in this situation, and it will be the wrong side in those circumstances in life today. Folks, let's not be a part of that. Let's be the people who God wants us to be in a world that doesn't like Him. And it's going to call for us to have courage. It's going to call for us to have faith. And we can do this together. Now, we know as this story goes that Joshua later became the leader of Israel to lead them into the promised land as they crossed the Jordan and as they entered into the place where God gave them. But remember, there was another consequence for that. As they roamed in the wilderness for 40 years, God said all those who were of a certain age, in other words, those that should have known better, those that were leaders that should have known better, all of them dropped dead in the wilderness and did not get to enter into the promised land. And it wasn't until after that 40 years, that God called Joshua. He promoted him from spy of the land to the leader of the people, and he led them across the swollen Jordan into the promised land to be in the place that God had called them to be. Let's stop delaying what it is that God wants us to do. We don't want to be roaming in the wilderness for 40 years. Let's not look at the negative. Let's look at the positive of what God says. And regardless of how big and how insurmountable the odds seem to be, if God has called us to it, God will see us through it. Okay? Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I pray today that you will truly give us the faith and the courage that we've read about in these passages that Joshua and Caleb had. Lord, I pray that as we stand oftentimes in the minority, that you will just give us everything that we need to be able to stand firm on your word and to stand firm on your will. Father, we also need to understand that there are consequences for our decisions. Lord, if we decide and we feel like the majority did in our passage today, then there are going to be consequences. There are going to be delays in us getting where you want us to be, and some may never even reach the pinnacle of being in the center of your will as you have it planned for our lives. So Lord, may we be positive. May we trust you. May our faith and may our courage be increased in a way that it never has before. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, listen, thank you for joining us today. I want to go ahead and give you our Bible readings for this week. This week, we're actually going to be looking at Numbers chapter 17. And you might want to write this down. It's a little bit different, just like before. Numbers chapter 17, then Numbers chapter 20 through 22. That's Numbers chapters 20 through 22 and Numbers chapter 27. Now, I'll give those to you again in just a moment. That's only five chapters, but we're skipping a few in between there. So Numbers chapter 17, then Numbers chapter 20 through chapter 22, and then Numbers chapter 27. Listen, you're not going to want to miss joining us next week. Next week, we're going to look at the bronze serpent in the wilderness from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. And there's a real specific tie to some New Testament passages in John. Can't wait to share those with you. We look forward to seeing you next Wednesday for our Bible study. And better yet, if you're in our area, Oak Ridge, North Carolina, we look forward to seeing you here this coming Sunday morning as we worship the Lord together. 1715 Highway 68 North, Central Baptist Church, Oak Ridge, North Carolina. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.